Good morning. Good morning. Hey! Hello, hi, I'm Betsy. I'm the owner and brewer at Lady Justice Brewing in Aurora, Colorado. Yay, that's fun. I'm here right now because I'm on the CBC subcommittee. I helped go through all of the panel and seminar submissions. I'm just going to give some brief stuff, good-to-know info at the beginning, and then I'm going to leave and be one a part of you. Okay, so there are a lot of chairs in this room, but if you are able to move towards the middle, people will keep filtering in. So if you don't mind moving towards the middle aisle just so there's more free space at the end for some latecomers, that's great. Make sure to turn off or silence your phones. Also wear your mask over your nose and your mouth, all breathing orifices. Then the QAs and the questions, everything's going to happen. If you have a question during the seminar, you're going to use Slido.com and that QR code. So you can, I think you probably, it's big enough from where you are, snap a pic of that right now on the screen. Then I guess you could probably just go to Slido.com and it'll show you what to do. I admittedly haven't done it yet, so forgive me. I'm a bad leader right now. Then at the end of the seminar, you're going to get a survey. Please take a couple minutes to fill that out. It really does help with future programming and help us sort of make this the best possible workshop and education for you in the future for next year. And then I'm going to introduce Bridget Gauntner, who is the market quality specialist at Bell's Brewery. And she's going to get you all started today. I hope you all have a great session. I'm looking forward to being here as well. So Bridget, come on up.
I am going to take my mask off just to talk so you can all hear me. Hopefully that's comfortable for everybody. I have to make sure my phone is turned off. Some housekeeping. All right, so welcome. I am so unbelievably excited to be here in person with all of you. About a year and a half ago, we were planning our draft quality workshop for the CBC in San Antonio in person. And it was the first time we were going to do it at the CBC. Before that, all of our draft quality workshops were just at the GABF. So we thought, let's get a new audience, be able to travel, be more mobile. And of course, then the pandemic hit. And we were more concerned with finding toilet paper and hand sanitizer. And we were all getting our medical degrees online. My microphone's going off, sorry. Yep. Congratulations on that, doctors. We really appreciate, all of the time that you've put into your research on viruses. Hold on, sorry about that. All right. So one of the words I think we became very familiar with at that time. Stand back. Okay. That's better. So one of the words I think we all became overly familiar with at that time is pivot. We all had to learn to pivot. And so did our draft quality workshop. And it was virtual a year and a half ago. We were still able to do the CBC and bring this education, but it looked a little bit different. And yet, here we are a year and a half later, and yay, everything's back to normal, right? No, it's not. We're not back to normal. Things are still pretty scary out there, especially when we look at the service industry, and we look at bars and restaurants still struggling, struggling with staffing, struggling to stay open. And this is an industry that, as brewers, we rely upon so much to be able to put out the work that goes into making beer and allows us options, allows brewers to use innovation and be creative, be the artists that they are. But if this were a painting, it would be important to focus on the lighting of the painting, as well as where the painting is displayed. It's all about quality. If we want to have customers back in bars, clinging glasses and celebrating and enjoying the multitude of beer that all of us brewers are able to put out, we need to focus on how that beer is served, how that beer is displayed, making sure that our staff knows how to properly pour a beer into a beer clean glass, brew lines that have been cleaned every 2 weeks. So, once again, I'm so excited to be here, and I'm being very optimistic on how things are going to turn out. I'm about to eat the microphone, I think. I'm getting closer and closer. I need to back up. But I think we're going to get there, but we have to do it together. What we can do is educate each other and then follow through with these best practices that we constantly preach. It will be cheaper in the beginning to cut corners, but in the long run, it's going to cost many customers and also reduce the amount that we are able to experiment and be innovative, because that's what craft brewing really is. So, without further ado, I am honored to introduce our keynote speaker here, the Vice President of Technical Brewing Operations for the Brewers Association. And I'm so excited. I knew about him before I ever worked in beer. Paul Gatza.
Thanks, Bridget. Thanks, everyone, for engaging with the Brewers Association and the workshop here as we reestablish, draft beer sales around the country and move forward draft quality best practices in on-premise establishments around the world. I have a few themes and I wish to discuss today, but there are two takeaways that I'm going to mention in passing now and circle back to in the middle of the address. The two takeaways are be kind and educate. These may seem like odd takeaways, but we're in an era of disruption and change. Please bear with me on a digression that will come back to topic, I promise. In addition to an era of change, we are in a period of distraction. We are a distracted society and a society immersed in ourselves right now. We see it in our neighborhoods. We see it in our establishments we do business with. We see it on our roads. We see it on our planes. Think about the unruly behavior we reported on planes. I bring my own duct tape now when I fly, just in case. A normal year has around 150 unruly passenger violations. This year, we're up over 600 already and 4,000 reports to the FAA that they need to investigate. So that number is going to climb significantly. 85% of flight attendants report harassment or bad behavior. 20% have had a form of unwanted physical contact. This is not what they signed up for. What we are seeing is individuals exhibiting bad behavior who must believe that society's safety rules are invalid and they don't have to put up with them. It used to be that disagreements still involve compliance when it comes to safety. We've lost that. Distraction is a wonder out on the roads. Two-thirds of the public think drivers are worse than pre-pandemic. I'm one of the two-thirds. The ignoring of stop signs and red lights, making turns from improper lanes, speeding, higher cell phone use, and other danger-causing situations is evident weekly. But hey, maybe that's just bolder drivers. I don't know. Seriously, I'm driving slower and paying extra attention to everyone else on the roads because I believe they are not fully present as drivers. The number of deaths per 100 million vehicle miles grew 18% in 2020. Percentage of drivers not wearing seatbelts grew 30%. Driving at over 80 miles an hour has grown dramatically since the pandemic. Again, a minority of people feel like the rules shouldn't apply to them, and they're thinking about other things. There are different stresses now. Are my kids safe in school? Is it safe to go back to the office? How's my toilet paper backstock holding up in light of the Delta variant? Why are cars so expensive? I need a new car, and you know that adds a new stress to me. If we look at the last sub-headline there at the bottom of the screen, the coronavirus pandemic has cleared roads, making room for speeders, reckless drivers, and other traffic faux pas. For those of you who don't speak French, faux pas means a fake or false pas. In our stores, how many times have you seen someone berating a worker for not meeting service expectations? Customers may be more likely to race you to the checkout line. To quote a line from Whole Foods parking lot, "You're the most annoying dude I've ever seen, brah, and you're standing right in front of the quinoa." Where is our patience gone? It feels like some have gone out of their way to appreciate those who serve the public and others who seem stuck in their individual movies and have little consideration for other circumstances. The labor shortage means that there may be longer waits or possible errors to an order. It also means reduced open hours for establishments. One change is that some establishments have found that people are going out earlier and heading home earlier. Some have found they don't need to stay open as late at night. There will always be places that stay open until bar closing time. There just may be fewer of them. One local issue of interest in bar closing time is the governor of Colorado, Governor Polis, is paying attention to it, and he believes that there's a problem with sending everybody out at the same time at 2 a.m. in the morning, and it's causing altercations out on the streets, and he's thinking about what happens if we extend bar time so that, you know, people aren't all leaving the bars at the same time. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. All right, so society is distracted and society is different. Restaurants are struggling. A recent survey of 5,300 small restaurant businesses found that 45% could not make their August rent. There are many thriving businesses that have been able to engage their customer bases in new ways and pivot to outside service and greater to-go sales. But there are many still getting crushed, and federal relief could be winding down. The recent Restaurant Revitalization Fund allocated $29 billion for qualifying restaurants, brew pubs, and tap rooms. This amount became a problem of fairness as another $60 billion is needed to reach the approved qualifying establishments. The Restaurant Revitalization Fund Replenishment Act is the top federal priority for the Brewers Association this fall. Bars and taverns are suffering too. A couple weeks ago at the Liquor Administrators Conference in Reno, I met the head of the Hawaii Bar Owners Association. He's a bar. He has no food. He has still not been allowed to reopen his business after 18 months. And, you know, a lot of the bars were not seen as necessary businesses, essential businesses, and have had to wait and are really getting crushed right now. So that's an extreme situation. Breweries and restaurants in many states had to-go privileges before the pandemic. Delivery of alcohol generally became a new thing. What we have seen in the legislation is that COVID-inspired privileges have been made permanent in about half the states, and some or all elements have been rolled back with an expiration date now or in the future in other states. Cocktails to go will be a major agenda item for the distilled spirits industry going forward. Draft beer got to over 10% of the package mix about a decade ago. We celebrated when it was, you know, rounded up from 9 to when it actually crossed 10%. And we celebrated with a nice draft beer in a bar and had a really good time with that. But drafts can be a hassle for retailers, moving kegs, tapping kegs, managing glassware. Many distributors have not been assertive with getting draft back into the on-premise. Which brings me to my first takeaway. When you are in a retail establishment as a draft technician, as a fellow employee, or as a customer, please be kind. Be friendly to everyone you encounter. They may be having a tough day, and their minds may be elsewhere. Use an appropriate sense of humor. Smiles are contagious. The on-premise needs to be more fun and less strictly transactional. We need to bring joy back to the social occasions with beer. If people are not having fun in on-premise establishments, going out would become a lower priority in their decision sets. They will stay home more until they are reminded of how much fun it can be. If workers aren't getting gratification from the workplace, it will become harder to staff on-premise establishments. If you see someone doing a good job, please let them know. Thank you. Thank yous go a long way in our distracted society. I'd like to change directions now and talk about the idea of draft beer quality. Starting with the word draft, an archaic and arcane spelling of a familiar word. Back in the late 200s, or aughts if you prefer, the industry came together in an attempt to share draft line cleaning information and standardize how cleaning is performed in the field. This educational venture included small brewers and large. I recall a key summit at an Anheuser-Busch draft lab facility in Chicago where we discussed the word draft, D-R-A-U-G-H-T versus D-R-A-F-T. As we wanted our work to be accessible to the curious and not just those in the draft world, we chose the arcane spelling because it would be easier to find in web searches. If you search under D-R-A-F-T, and I did this week, there are 793 million results that come up. And the first couple hundred million are about fantasy football, professional player selections in sports, and the selective service. When you search under D-R-A-U-G-H-T, there are a mere 77 million results, and they start with beer. I'm very proud of the work of the draft beer quality manual produced by the working group and updated by future working groups. Beer is an interesting word in a dispersing beverage market. Brewers make beer, but nowadays there are a lot of companies making non-beer beverages seeking tap handle and draft line space. Sure, I'm an old-timer. I know what I like, and I don't leave my comfort zone very much. But there are a whole bunch of newer legal drinking age adults who feel very differently. They're interested in all sorts of different beverages for different occasions. Their perceptions of beer for better than you, or for other reasons. That one is clear, so it must not be bad for you. I hear kombucha is good for you. I don't know how, but I hear it's healthy. As more of these products hit draft systems around the country and world, there are current and future challenges to maintain draft lines properly. No one wants to taste anything that tastes like what was in the line before. It is also here I think of a potential safety hazard in draft. What if a customer gets a glass full of line cleaning chemicals and ingests it? Every time we clean lines, we should ask ourselves, has it been rinsed properly? Please check and double check. Quality is an area that I have something different to talk about than I have in the past. The disappearance of the draft beer market created a whole new set of challenges that could impact quality. First, what is a quality beer? As it shows on the screen, the Brewers Association defines a quality beer as a beer that is responsibly produced using wholesome ingredients, consistent brewing techniques, and good manufacturing practices, which exhibits flavor characteristics that are consistently aligned with both the brewers' and beer drinkers' expectations. Never let it be said that our technical committee is short on words. The brewer and her team do their part. The distributor and her team impact quality by their transport, refrigerated storage, handling, and delivery practices. The retailer does her part by keeping kegs at 38 degrees Fahrenheit or below. The draft line technician does her part by making sure lines are properly cleaned and educating the retailer on potential troubleshooting practices. Here is where I get to the educate takeaway. Project one, and far less important than project two, is homebrewers. I think there is a stronger role for the Brewers Association to play with homebrewers in draft line cleaning education. Who here is or was a homebrewer at one point? Nice. The people who have moved in primarily, people who are in that section less so. Homebrewing is a pretty mature hobby these days. Bottling at home is a pain. Kegging homebrew is the way to go if you want to continue with the hobby on a long-term basis. Some homebrewers have all-grain systems that involve pumps and can easily use the pump for line cleaning on kegerator-type systems. I can assure you that most homebrewers aren't breaking down and cleaning all components as regularly as they should. Some homebrewers use the pressure pot method of line cleaning. Not great, but better than nothing. Homebrewers have passion and can become future brewers or draft techs. If we can better foster proper line cleaning in amateurs, we'll have more talk in bars about proper practices, and we'll have future experts. Project 2 under the Educate banner is far more important, is the retailers. There's been a brain drain at retail and other industry tiers. Many who took care of changing kegs, draft settings, glassware cleaning, and pouring are not necessarily the same people in those positions today. Or if we can ever put this pandemic behind us. These folks need to learn or relearn the proper practices. An example is, after cleaning a line, a draft tech can show proper pouring technique without touching the glass to the tap, and how to achieve the desired one-inch collar of foam as a way to optimize aromatics. That can be their talking point with customers and others in the establishment. We need to educate our way through some lost competencies at the brewer, distributor, draft technician, and retailer levels. On-premise owners and managers probably still stew over all the beer that was dumped down the drain or picked up by distributors or brewers when the on-premise shutdown and beer went out of date. Many are hesitant to dive back into a full draft lineup after the shutdown experience, and now we appear headed out of the dance phase of the pandemic into another hammer phase. Now, or when the time is right, the economics of draft beer will be an enticing and delicious incentive. Draft will be back when the customers are ready to come back. Everyone in this room can play a part in building a future for draft beer. When we accomplish these educational pieces, we rebuild trust with the beer drinker and the retailer. We build confidence in beer drinkers that, while they may not know what brand they're going to try that day, they know they're going to have a beer on draft. Trust is earned when there are good or great experiences only. Trust builds relationships among brewers, distributors, draft technicians, retailers, and beer drinkers. Trust and positive experiences build community. As I wind up this address, I'd like to paint the picture we are all thinking of. You are not in a seminar room. Picture yourself in a beer garden with a delightful, well-made beer with a handful of your friends, laughing, smiling, joking, and taking liberties with the truth in the stories related on a beautiful day. Picture yourself hanging out on a bar stool, chatting with a friend and a bartender about music or sports or that strange thing you saw in the sky. And the question comes, would you like another of the same beer, or would you like to try a different beer? Decisions, decisions. These are the joys of life that draft beer is a crucial element of. It takes work right now to find these experiences. When we do, we'll all be a lot less unruly on planes. I look forward to enjoying some delicious beers, delicious draft beers with you at the bar later. Thank you.
A little bit lower for me. All right, so I am very excited to introduce to you my colleague at Bell's and our next presenter, David Monroe.
Good morning, everyone. Isn't this better than a Zoom presentation meeting? And thankfully, most of you have remembered to dress appropriately below the waist. Really good to see. Well done. It's my absolute pleasure to be here today. I'm going to give a little high-level view of what I call the four-tier system. I mean, we talk about three-tier system, but I think there's a fourth tier, and that's our consumer. So I'm just going to bring up some talking points, some questions, some statements. Hopefully put some stuff out there that, you know, makes sense. And, we'll work our way through it. So I'm going to talk about the brewery, distributor, retailer, and consumer. I've been fortunate to be all four of those. Coming from England originally, I was a consumer at a young age, probably too young, you know? So really got to enjoy beer at a young age and continue to do so today, especially draft beer. I was in retail. I was a chef and manager, and so I was a customer of a distributor. And then my customers would buy the beer that I would, you know, buy from them and move on. And then as far as getting into the beer business, I worked for two distributors. I worked for an Anheuser-Busch distributor, and I worked for a Coors, a Labatt malt liquor distributor with some craft beer, proudly representing Sierra Nevada at that time as well. And then obviously getting into the brewery business. Back in late 2008, early 2009, I was very fortunate to be hired on to work with Larry Bell and for Larry Bell. And my days are spent with some of the most amazing colleagues talking and drinking some of the most amazing beers in the world. So, and that's not only ours, but you know, a lot of people in this room as well. I enjoy all your beers. So that's who I am. I guess I'm going to be the mad professor today. You know, if anybody doesn't know, has anybody not seen Back to the Future? It's a three-part series of how you fix and maintain a DeLorean sports car. So let's talk about breweries first, shall we? I'm not gonna be aggressive. I'm not gonna, I just want to talk about some of the stuff that, you know, we need to look at. So it's been an interesting couple of years we've had since, early of last year and all the way through this year, and it continues to do so. I know for a fact, because I worked on it every day of my life last year, everybody had to recover kegs. Keg recovery is still going on. Thankfully, we had, you know, a great partner in Hillebrand SLG at Bell's that helped us. We had fantastic distributor partners that helped us. We had people in our brewery every single day doing an amazing job. What I will tell you is that your DeLorean at the brewery is your keg. You've got to maintain it. Those kegs have been sitting out there in all sorts of areas, in all sorts of conditions. Let's make sure that you maintain those kegs. A $2 seal, a $3 seal is going to save you a lot of headache in the future. So if you don't have a maintenance program, I really encourage you to get one. And if you do lease your kegs instead of owning your own cooperage, start those conversations, if you haven't already, with who you lease it from, of what their maintenance program is, how they run it, and get hands-on with it so you get the knowledge of that. Because it's tremendously important to know the vessel that you're putting your draft beer in is going to work properly when it goes to your distributor and to your retailer. Sorry. Brewing quality beer to put into that draft keg as well. The innovation is coming back. You know, quality beer, a lot of people really said, you know, I'm just going to drink something I trust. And that's a big part of our business over the last 18 months, is our consumer just trusting brands and trusting particular styles. We're able to start innovating a little bit more again. And innovation is who we are. We're innovators. We're innovators of beer. Look at the awards tomorrow, the Great American Beer Festival. Look how many breweries are going to win some fantastic medals for some fantastic ideas for some great beers. So let's make sure that we're brewing quality beer, being innovative, and doing it consistently. You know, get the recipes right. Being, you know, with these fantastic colleagues on this committee for many years now, we always have this conversation about the volumizing of beer.
Let's make sure we're volumizing our beers correctly and give that information to your distributor. Does everybody have the Medante map on their phone so that they can set their regulators and their lines and pressures and everything? It's not set at 2.65. You actually have to put the volume in there. You know, and regulators don't just go from 0 to 23. There's a lot of dashes in between. So we need all that information so that we can actually have quality draft beer poured at the account. So if you're at 2.4, let your distributor know that that beer is a 2.4. If it's 2.65, great. If it's 2.8, there's a massive difference. And if you don't, we're not able to present it in a great way at retail. It's not a trade secret, you know. There's quite a few trade secrets out there as far as beer. Not going to tell you how we make Two Hearted, give you the homebrew recipe, but not going to give you the golden ticket to Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory. So don't be a slacker. If Charlie doesn't look at your beer like that and say, that's a great hit of foam on that beer, you might want to look at the recipe. Get it done right. All right? That guy knows beer. And I love it when he looks at a beer and you can just see the passion and the love, and then he puts it to his nose and to his mouth and drinks a pint. All right? That's what we've got to have, is that passion. We've got to have, you know, that pride in our business. You know, realize your potential. You know, it has been so tough. You know, Paul mentioned, you know, the shortage of staff in the retail side. There's shortages in the breweries as well. We know there are. Okay, people are doing everything from executive bathroom cleaning to the books. All right? So just really have pride in the work that you do. And the profitability of draft beer is the best for you. You make more money on draft beer. And that's something we go for as well. We are in this for a quality business. We're in this for a quantity business. We're in this to make profit as well, let's be honest. Everybody is. All right? Even a consumer's in it for profit. It's called the raise of the stomach, you know? So with distributors, I know a lot of people in this room might distribute their own beer. I want you to consider, when I'm talking about distributors, I'm talking about the three-tier system. Myself, I absolutely love. You know, I don't want to be driving around in a truck, humping kegs off and wheeling them in and downstairs in New York City. I thank God that there's somebody out there to do that. I really do. So consider some of these, you know, discussion points as far as when you're a brewer and you're distributing your own beer. When you leave your building to become a delivery, make sure you think of yourself as a distributor at that point. With distributors right now, it's about regrowing and growing the relationship. Distributors are short-staffed as well. You know, it's a case of getting back in, face-to-face where possible, socially distanced, masked up, whatever we need to take to be precautionary. But let's start building those relationships back up. It's been tough. We're in this together. So let's get out and do this. You know, have those conversations with your distributor partners and have honest conversations as well. Don't just sit there and do the old, you know, the nodding chicken, and don't let them do the nodding chicken to you. Have those honest conversations. Let's build this business together. Draft quality, draft business is so important. With distributors, we need you to trust in the quality of the beer that's being delivered to you. And we need you to maybe sample that beer. See that it is quality. Or, once in a while, find out that there might be something wrong with it. Let's not leave it to the consumer to find out that that beer is not good quality. Because then the retailer is blamed. The retailer fires back and says, brewery always sends us beer like that. Then they go back to the distributor and say, you've lost that line. You know, it's a snowball effect. So, right beer, right account. Tremendously important right now. A lot of places are running, you know, if they had 40 draft lines, they may be running 10 or 20. Let's make sure we're putting drinkable, quaffable, high-quality draft beer on those lines. You know, once we open up fully again and you've got the full range, you know, that's when we can start putting on the Unicorn Magic Dust IPA. You know, but for right now, let's focus on quality and good beers. If you are a distributor cleaning state, keep those draft lines clean, please. Absolutely, tremendously important. You've sold somebody $170, $200, $220 keg of beer. Let's make sure you've got the right maintenance program in for that account as far as, you know, biweekly cleaning, quarterly acid. Follow the standards, you know. Absolutely, you've got to do that. You know, like Paul said, there's so much other stuff going on taps these days. I've had some horrible beer, but it wasn't horrible beer. It's because they had something on that line and didn't clean it properly. And now they're putting through something that should be really enjoyable. And I didn't blame the brewery. I know where it came from. The choice is that the draft is important because it offers choices to... it offers choices to the retailer, and that offers choices to the consumer. Okay? It shows innovation. It gives us an opportunity to sell and educate rather than just drop beer and run. Education is tremendously important. Talking to people about what the ingredients are, you know, getting more involved in what the hop profiles are, what the water profile is, what the yeast is. All of this is really necessary. You know, with distributors, you know, for me, their DeLorean is their salespeople. Allow your salespeople to be educated by your brewery partners, with your brewery partners. Allow them to go to Siebel or Cicerone and do some online courses. Allow them to become educated salespeople rather than order takers. So, and then again, one of the major things with a distributor is the profitability of draft beer. It makes a really nice margin. And that's important. You know, it's especially important in these days. So, retailers. Are we have any retailers in the room? Oh, forget that one then. So, what does retail? What does it mean for retailers? And I got to tell you, I got a picture of a guy there. He's had a fantastic run. Obviously, the account is closed now, but what a run, you know, he and his partners and family had with his account, and such a pride in draft quality. You know, so. What does draft quality mean for the retailer? Well, clean and high-quality draft systems. That draft system is your DeLorean. Make sure you maintain it. I know there's a few of you in the room that are at 15,000 miles on your last oil change. Not smart. Follow the guidelines. Maintain your systems. You know, it's going to give you a lot more profit in the future, save you a lot of headaches. You will get less complaints from your staff, from the consumer, from the distributor people, and from the brewery people coming in. All right? So, when you have a good draft system, selection is tremendously important. Massive amounts of choice. Innovation drive on draft. You know, a lot of beers will go from being on draft into package for a lot of breweries. So you're helping that transition as well. Draft is visually appealing when poured right. The handles are visually appealing. When a consumer goes into an account that has a great draft system set up, you see them doing the old gooseneck, don't you, like this. Walk in and like, oh, what can I see on tap today? You know? Please use the handles that we provide for you. You know, you might think that those little black stumpy handles are attractive. We don't. please use the draft handles that we work on and we supply, and you know, we can get recognized for. Storage of kegs is pretty easy. Now, you have to follow a lot of good safety guidelines because they're pretty heavy when they come in. They're extremely light when they go out. Well, not extremely light, but they're lighter. So storage of kegs is, you know, a lot better and a lot easier than 2,500 fruit flies flying around, you know, 400 cases of empty bottles stacked up by, you know, the potato peeler in the back of the kitchen. Draft gives you menu selling opportunities for your staff. A consumer can come in, and either if they make a decision on the beer immediately, they say, oh my gosh, I know what that is. I want a pint of that. What the staff can do then is say, great choice. I'm going to get that for you. And can I tell you something? I've worked with the brewery, and we've got two items on our menu that go perfectly with that beer. So let me know when you're ready for some food, and I'll tell you about both of those. And then if you switch it around where somebody comes in and they ask about the food item and they order something off the menu, you say, that is delicious. Absolutely. And you know what? I've got the perfect beer for it. You in for a beer? Got one on draft right now. I'll bring it over to you. Great choice. Those are selling opportunities. That's what retail staff are supposed to do. They're not just supposed to order take. And then sampling opportunities. Obviously, we have these things called flights. I prefer to sample in pints myself. This body wasn't grown on lettuce. But that's your choice. But there's sampling opportunities out there. You know, and that's great for you. That's great for the business. And if you are a retailer, I really encourage you, give a little sample. Give that 1 ounce shot. Don't do what an account I saw the other day was doing. They were literally giving 8 ounces as the sample of beer. I'm like, I'm just going to sit there and order like 6 8-ounce samples and bugger off out of the account. That'd be great. I might leave a tip, but I'm not paying for anything, obviously. And then let's get back to profitability at retail as well. Draft beer is profitable. Very nice margins. Very nice margins, very nice check size. Nice check sizes lead to nice gratuities. If you've taken your customer on that journey, they're going to ask you when they come back in, and you're going to see repeat customers, which is something we really need to work on coming out of the pandemic and going into a more normal, is getting the consumers to come back more often. Right now, people might be going out once every 2 weeks, where before they might have been going out twice a week. That's a massive amount of revenue loss. We've got to work on getting the people back in through excitement, through quality, through sales-driven. Oh, wrong button. There we go. And the consumer. Here's our consumer. What does draft quality mean to us? A varied selection of innovative beers. You know, it allows us to sample as well. Rather than having to buy a 6-pack or a 12-pack at the store, I can get a 10-ounce, a 12-ounce, you know, a 16-ounce, a 20-ounce pour at the bar. You know, I can get a little taster. You know, that's important. It allows me to be part of that innovation and see the innovation of what breweries are doing. The great skill and the excitement that these brewers are putting out. And there is a fantastic amount of great beer, not only available now, but coming through in the future. The use of the hops and the malts and, you know, different yeasts and everything that's going on is just fantastic. Keep doing it. As a consumer, get more bang for my buck, don't I? A pint gives me more bang for my buck. I like that. Especially if it's a 20-ounce pint, by the way. I go on Imperial. These 16-ounce pints, I don't know what that is. Jeez. So, more beer for your dollar. And importantly, socializing. Beer is a social-driven collective to get people sitting down and talking about their week, talking about their day, enjoying each other's lives, instead of annoying each other on the road, running into Paul, you know. Beer is social. Let's get out, let's make sure we're doing this to get people out there socializing again and give them what they want, why they are socializing. So there's nothing better than having a good conversation over a great, you know, quality draft beer. So we're all in this together for a great story, you know. You know, with all those tears, it's tremendously important to focus and put our energies into the right places. Work together. And if you're unsure, ask questions. Ask questions of your peers, of your colleagues. It's okay to ask questions, you know. I'd like to give some quick takeaways. So for the breweries, keep making quality draft beer, volumized appropriately with the right information so that it pours great in the retail account. Make it to the highest quality. And let's get more drinkable beer out there as well. I like something that's got high IBUs once in a while, but I don't like the shiver and shake and asking for a glass of water. I don't bloody sell water. I don't make water. I make beer. All right? So quality and quantity driven beer. Distributors, we can't do this without you. Make sure to trust your brewery partner, ask questions, work together. Keep those lines clean. Keep fresh draft beer flowing out of those lines of the highest quality. Retailers, it's been a long and hard journey. You're coming back. We know you're not there. We're there to support you all the way. Thank you. It's tremendously important for us to sell draft beer. Brewers and distributor partners are here to help. We're going to sell you the right quality draft beer, the right number of kegs. Make sure that you're able to sell it. Keep those lines cleaned. Train and educate your staff, please. You know, it's so easy. There's so much information out there. And then with the consumers, please have the confidence that every one of the brewers in this room and also every one of, you know, the brewers in the association, their drive is to make quality, fresh, innovative, and delicious draft beer. We need to get back to the bar. We need to start socializing again. You know, it's back to the future. It's what it is. Going to do a shameless plug here. I'm going to mention Matt Meadows' name. That's Matt Meadows on the right there. And I'm going to mention Matt Meadows' name three times. You see that? That's a challenge to Neil Whitty to mention his name four times. So, there's a lot of resources out there for you. These are free or very cheap. We love to have you download them. But there's nothing better than if you order them from us and you hand deliver them and give somebody a nice book to read and have on site. All of these resources are available for you, and they're not only, you know, written by, you know, some great people and experts that I have the pleasure to, you know, associate with, but we talk to retailers, we talk to distributors, we talk to other breweries to make sure that we are getting everything that everybody wants in here to make it a quality draft business. So, without ado, I really thank you. Like I said, high level view, you're going to hear some fantastic presentations and they're going to dive deep into some technical things. So, I appreciate each and every one of you being here today. I look forward to having beers with all of you. I'm up for it. I'll have a pint with every single one of you. But again, you know, enjoy your time here. Well done on, you know, the last 18 months. I'm really looking forward to the next 12 months and your success, especially with quality draft beer. Cheers, everyone.
All right. David, I have to say I missed your joke on the ham and cheese, your comparison of what the beer scene was like 30 years ago compared to after craft beer emergence. And you said, no one wants to go back to a ham and cheese sandwich after you've had the croque madame. I thought it was a great, great analogy. The Cubano, that's right. A Cubano. All right. All right. So I'm pleased to introduce the next two presenters, Chris Shields from Rheingeist Brewing and Ryan Wagner from Guinness.
Two for the price of one.
Yeah. So Ryan said he's going to take that side, and I'm taking this side.
Yeah.
So just to kind of get started, figured we'd give a very quick intro to who we are and kind of what we do. So my name's Chris. Hi, everyone. Thanks for getting here early and hanging out with us today. I'm the director of education at Rheingeist, and that's sort of weird and vague by design. What it really means is I spend a lot of time talking to all different people about beer and how to sort of make that experience better. I work with our team internally. I work with our distributors and wholesalers. I work with retailers. And I work with the consumer. So I take a little bit more time sort of on the sort of high-level side, speaking about beer, talking about beer, training about beer, and hopefully letting everyone kind of bring more knowledge into that experience. And I'll talk more about that, but Ryan has sort of a partner perspective for this presentation.
Well, what's interesting is that if you thought Chris's title of Director of Education was vague, National Ambassador, it's the vaguest title in the history of the world. But we both do similar things. The way that I always describe my job is that I spread the gospel of our beer across the spectrum of anyone who interacts with it. To David's point just a moment ago, all four tiers, right? Whether you're brewing our beer and we get to play as the voice of our brewers out in the world, whether you're serving our beer, selling our beer, drinking our beer, no matter how you interact with our beer, my job is to make sure that you're having the right conversations, you're hearing the right stories, and that the beer is arriving to you exactly as the brewers intended. What Chris and I want to talk to you about today, building off of what we've already heard so far in this this presentation, is the importance of field quality reps. And that begs the question, what is a field quality rep, and who can be one, who should be one? And what we think is that anyone looking out for your beer out in the wild can be and should be a quality rep for you. So what does that mean? I'm looking at the wrong computer. What does that mean? That means equality belongs to everybody. No matter what you do, no matter who you interact with, no matter how you interact with the beer, whether you're in sales, the staff that you employ inside of your tap rooms, your distribution partners, which, as we've heard, so critically important to the business that we do, the drivers that take your beer around, the leadership teams, and finally the consumers. And I'll throw it back to you, Chris.
Yeah, I wanted to also call this out earlier when David asked how many people are retailers, and didn't look like very many people put their hands up.
All of you are.
So nobody sells beer at their brewery? You're a retailer.
Yeah.
So you really want to make sure that you're taking this approach. As David mentioned, you have to get in that mindset. When you're selling beer across your bar, you're a retailer. When you're delivering kegs from your van, you're a distributor, right? So take these pieces and talk to other people that do those jobs. You know, talk to everyone else and build that relationship and get that understanding. Sort of, you know, put on your different hats for the different activities that you're doing. Anybody who works at a small brewery knows that you do have to do a lot of different things. You wear a lot of different hats. So throw a couple more in the rotation And make sure that you're thinking about that, because every opportunity to do something good for quality is also an opportunity that can be missed to have a failure of quality. So you want to be paying attention to all these different levels, all these different checkpoints, because if you're not, someone else is, and that's usually not ideal. You know, consumers are getting more educated, wholesalers are getting more educated, retail establishments are getting more educated. They want information from you.
And I would take it even a step further. When you talk about you as a retail account inside of your tap room, that's the best home field advantage that any of us have. So when your retail partners come into your space, when your distribution partners come into your space, your tap room, that beer, those draft lines, that glassware, the knowledge of your staff, the way that you talk about quality, that should be the model for everyone else that carries your beer, that deals with your beer. I think that's something that's critically important as well. So, did I go one too many? I did. So training for field quality. And Chris, I'd touch on a few of these and we'll go from there.
Yeah, so, you know, you should be doing these trainings, whether it's just you training yourself, you know, depending on the size of your operation, or you're training other members of your team, going out into retail, right? Think about what you want to include in those training modules. And now, when I'm doing these trainings, I'm putting together sort of, you know, PowerPoint presentations or take-home kind of documents. It doesn't mean you have to do that, but you should still be thinking about the content and what should be in there, even if it's just sitting around a table in the tap room, sharing some beer, talking about it, learning about it. You know, share the recipe, involve the production team. A lot of my day-to-day is translating between our production team and our sales and marketing team. Both directions. Because both sides need to know what the other one's doing, how the other one's talking, and what kind of messaging each side thinks is important. And then make sure that it makes sense to the other side.
I think also, when you think about these trainings, and as you're building these field quality reps, as you're building this program across your organization, it helps to understand how those different conversations are being had. So again, if you're talking about your taproom staff, that conversation one-to-one with a consumer sitting at the bar. If you're talking to somebody that sells your beer out in the world, how do those conversations go? How much time does someone have? How many questions do they get to ask? And do they have the right questions, the right answers to the questions that they're going to receive? So understand the different conversations, because while there are some basics, some sort of, you know, bottom level things that everyone, in our opinion, should know, we also understand that every single person shouldn't receive the same level of training. So it's about understanding those different conversations, understanding the different roles, and how those roles can apply to your quality program. In terms of managing updates, staying current, developing internal trainings versus trainings for external audiences, all great questions to think about as you're thinking about your individual brewery, your individual business, and the way that you're going to run this field quality program.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, Ryan brings up a good point about expectation as well. You know, we have, at Rheingeist, we have sales reps that work for us. I have a much higher expectation of their knowledge and competency on our beers than I do for the wholesaler reps who sell and distribute our beer. It's not because our reps are better or smarter. It's that they only have our beers to think about. I can understand that our wholesaler reps have our beers. I'm still going to give them a ton of information. But I also understand that they have 50, 100 other brands, sometimes more than that, that they're also trying to keep some semblance of balance in their brain. So it doesn't mean that I'm not going to arm them with all the knowledge that I want them to have, but it does mean that I'm going to be maybe more understanding, maybe a little bit more accommodating, maybe a little bit less technical on some of the explanations I give, hit highlights, right? You know, you talk about like the elevator pitch. You know, when I speak to bar managers, I describe our beers differently than if I have an opportunity to like jump into a shift meeting and talk about the new beer that we have on tap. That's got to be fast. So keeping that in mind and crafting those messages for your beers at different sort of breadths and depths is a huge tool that you can take away. You should be able to talk about your beers for 10 seconds, a minute, and 10 minutes. I don't know, I'd made those times up. But but think of it that way, right? And you should want the same thing. You know, Ryan, talking about your bartenders at your place, your beer tenders. They're not going to jump into the 10-minute, right? But if somebody's sitting down and really enjoying one of the beers, isn't that great when they can dig into that deep conversation with somebody on your team? You're building a fan of that beer and your brewery for a long time.
What these programs and what these trainings that we're talking about here today are all about is building a toolkit, essentially. And we're going to talk later on about an actual physical toolkit, but in terms of conversations, questions that you can answer, knowing about the beers, you know, David touched on understanding your volumes of CO2, something that you should have in your back pocket. All of these things need to be a part of your toolkit when it comes to being a field quality rep or building a team of people that can answer these questions. But the other thing to remember about these trainings, about this communication that you're going to share, is that it has to be flexible. It has to be malleable. Because to Chris's point, not only are you going to deal with different consumers coming into your bar, some that want to know everything that went into making this beer and some that just want to know the flavor profile of it. But when you're at retail, you're going to deal with different retailers. You're going to deal with different distribution partners and sales partners, some of whom have a really high level of beer education and are going to want you to dive deep into some of the questions that they have. But you're also going to find yourself in circumstances where you've got somebody who may be a novice to the entire industry. What key points can you give them in the few minutes that you have that's going to start them on the road to becoming a quality rep for you, to becoming a quality ambassador for you? Some field quality topics. Information on your beer, that goes without saying, right? Know your beer. And everyone that interacts with it should know it as well. Tasting notes and stories. Best practices in terms of draft quality. General beer and style information. Warning signs and solutions. And conversation strategies. Chris, I don't know if you have anything to add there.
Yeah, just a couple things. One is the stories, right? This may seem strange, where it's a field quality conversation. But our beers do have stories. And that's part of the experience of enjoying those beers. You know, David talked about it, that the conversation, the camaraderie, the social interaction aspect of drinking draft. Some of that comes down to like, oh yeah, this beer, it's named after the owner's dog who, got in a fight and lost his leg. I don't know. That's way more, now I want to try that beer. The other thing is, I don't know. I'm all over the place today.
I can't wait to hear the true story behind whatever it was that you just talked about.
The other thing is the general beer and style information. One of the things I spend a lot of time doing is speaking with wholesalers and retailers about beer. I often don't talk at all about Rheingeist beer. I always joke that that's my sales rep's job. I like to bring in wholesalers and retailer groups and just talk about beer. Just give some background. If you understand how beer's made, or if you understand certain beer styles, classic styles, then that gives you context for understanding what I'm trusting my sales rep to tell you. So that's a really great way to set that foundation. You know, I think a lot of times we get caught up in styles on both sides. You know, you have some people that are, you know, if it's not a classic style, I don't want it. And there's other people that are, styles are dumb. We should just be able to make whatever we want. We're artists and creatives, right? I feel like there's nodding on both of those. But it's both, right? The style gives context. If you say, I made a Hefeweizen with blueberries and allspice. Well, that sure as hell is not a Hefeweizen anymore. But most all of you are going to understand what that's going to taste like. So don't be afraid to use that classic style and beer and brewing knowledge, right, as a starting point, as context.
Jumping to the next slide, because I think it plays right into what Chris was talking about. And I think it's so that relationship building, right? If you can present yourself as an expert on beer and you can share that information in a way that isn't hammering someone over the head with it, but sharing knowledge, sharing experience, creating somebody that has a higher level of education on beer and on this business because you are a part of their sales structure, that's the way that you build relationships that are lasting. And those are the kind of relationships, friends, that impact sales. There's no two ways about it. If you build that kind of relationship, they're going to come back to you. If they've got questions about beer in general, and you know what? It may not always be about your beer specifically, but if you're the person they're calling, chances are they're going to keep your beer on draft because they know they've come to trust you as a resource. So conversations with key retail personnel, understanding who those people are. There is so much churn and so much turnover in retail businesses now more than ever, my goodness. So understanding who those key personnel are that you can maintain those consistent relationships with, so it's easier, to Chris's point, to get in front of somebody during a pre-shift, to send a text, hey, we've got a new beer that you guys are bringing on next week. Can I pop over and chat with your team for a couple minutes? Building relationships based on expertise and trust across tiers, brewery to distro, brewery to retail, distro to retail. And I skipped over one there, Chris, that we talked a lot about this as we were building this. Yes, you should have these conversations, but there is a very specific way you should be having them, especially right now, as David touched on.
Yeah, I mean, this is your different audiences and different impacts. And I mean, this goes all the way back to, I mean, even what Paul was saying, and we'll touch on it some more. But you want to be educating, but you also want to be kind. You want to be nice. You need to understand that as busy as you think that you are, everybody involved in retail and distribution and production right now is stretched thin. Everybody's busy. So someone giving you 3 minutes, maybe you'd rather have 10, but if you're getting 3, be appreciative of that 3. And be available as much as you can. I'm not saying that, you know, you need to be on call 24/7, but make sure you're engaging in those relationships, because as Ryan said, if you're available and you're answering questions and you're helping out and you're troubleshooting and, you know, someone, you know, an account shoots you a text and says, hey, this is pouring weird. Help out if you can, right? Like, and that sounds like simple, but, you know, I've talked to people that are like, oh, but it wasn't my keg. Like, what? Yeah, maybe you're the only person that they could get in touch with. And maybe next time it is your keg. Or maybe it is your keg and they just don't think it is. It's hooked up on the wrong line, right? So there's always an opportunity to build those relationships and be a resource, and it goes so much further than it even used to, given how much, you know, people are learning on the fly as new buyers, new managers. They're looking for people that can give them a helping hand. So if you can do that and you can be that, that's going to be a great opportunity for you to maintain those relationships.
I would just say also be aware that as passionate people that care about our beer and care about quality, understand that if you give somebody that same passion and that same excitement and then share your cell phone number with them, they will use it. They will call you and text you at all hours, all the time, about everything going on. And it's really great to build those relationships, but just understand, they've got your number now. They will use it. Moving on. So let's get down to brass tacks, right? So you got this group of field quality reps, everybody out in the world working on behalf of your beer, looking for things that could potentially be going wrong. So when a quality issue is discovered at retail, here are the questions that you should be asking yourself. Who discovered it, right? How was it discovered? What were the circumstances under which it was discovered? Is it a staffing issue? Is it a facility issue? Have a conversation. It's so important in those moments when a quality issue is brought to your attention that instead of just fixing it, which is obviously the most important thing, fix it more than anything else, but also understand that that's a learning opportunity. That's a chance to, again, build that connection, build that relationship, to share knowledge. Because the goal in all of this, when I think about this, the goal in all of this is to put ourselves out of business from a quality point of view, because we've built enough of a network and enough people out there who know what they're doing that when you go into these accounts, quality issues that maybe a month, 3 months, 6 months ago would have been a text to you, they now know how to address those things themselves. It's really cool when that happens. And it will happen when people really take an interest in their draft systems and their quality. They start to address some of these issues themselves.
Yeah, that's an important aspect to your own teams as well. You know, we self-distribute in Cincinnati, so we have our own drivers. The fact that I'm able to work with our drivers in addition to our sales reps is a huge advantage. The number of potential issues that get solved by our drivers just being aware and paying attention is huge. And it doesn't take a ton of their time to key in. Generally, they're interested. They work for a brewery. And they like being able to, you know, sort of save the day at an account. You know, they don't always have the most glamorous job. You know, as David mentioned, I also don't want to be dragging kegs down three flights of stairs in New York, right? But there are those folks that do that. And if you can have them ready to say, like, well, that doesn't look right, and they're confident enough to bring that up in a polite and respectful way, problem solved. You don't get a text, right? Or maybe you do, but it's like, hey, you know, so-and-so just saved me a whole bunch of headache later today. Those are great texts.
Two quick things that I wanted to touch on listening to Chris there. One of the most important rules that we have in our space, and I'm sure a lot of you share this, is that it's okay to say you don't know. And I think when it comes to beer quality, that is such a critically important thing, because you're training people to understand these issues. But I think it's equally as important to understand what it is that you don't know. And more importantly than that, one thing we haven't touched on yet is how key communication is across every part of your business. So if you've got drivers out in Cincinnati who identify an issue with a keg, but it's something they've never encountered before, do they know, without having to think about it, this is who I need to call? This is who I need to text. Do they have the information ready at a moment's notice to share with a retail partner if they're the one that is reached out to and they don't know how to address that specific issue? So understanding those levels of communication and how that communication should flow throughout your organization, I think is very, very important. All right. So how do we address quality issues at retail, and what are we focusing on? Chris, I will turn it to you.
Yeah, so again, just back to some high-level stuff. We're not going to go really in-depth on all these topics. We just kind of put a quick list together of some things that the BA and the draft quality group has put together, a lot of resources available to all of you, but also just some things that we think are great places to start. Beer knowledge. Kind of already talked about it a little bit. Don't want to go too far into it again, but knowing about your beer and about beer for as many people on your team and as many field quality reps and as many advocates and ambassadors that you can create is huge. Line cleaning. I think we are contractually obligated to mention line cleaning in every one of these presentations.
No doubt about it.
So that's it.
Thank you, Neil.
Yeah.
I said it once. That's one for us.
That's one for us. Yeah. So it is really important to dive into these things. Glassware is another one. And we've got a couple slides here. Keeping, you know, rotating fresh beer and understanding how that all goes through. And just keeping tabs on your bar procedures and cleaning, whether that's your bar at your tap room or bars that where your beer is sold. One of the best things you can do to arm your sales team, and by sales team, I mean your sales team, your bartenders, your drivers, yourself, pretty much everybody who is involved in the process of getting beer to other people, is tasting. And it doesn't always have to be beer. That's one of the reasons I put this image. I think this was Stone Fruit Day and maybe some, I don't know. So we'll build that flavor vocabulary by tasting through fruit or different types of bread or other beers as well as our beers. We do weekly tastings of our beer up against other beers in the market blind with just members of our team. It's not to determine what the best beer is, just to see where, you know, what's out there. What are the trends? What do things look like? How does our beer fit among what else is out there? Yeah, kind of talked about this a ton, but, you know, look at menus. Make sure you have a form of information management. You know, we make something like 140 beers a year. I can't keep all that in my head, but I can really easily look all of that information up about all these beers. And that's true for our whole sales team and our whole organization. A lot of resources. There's a ton that you can do. There's the resource hub on the BA website, all of these other things, the draft beer quality manual, the draft beer quality manual for retailers. An update is coming soon. Other brewers, I mentioned before, other retailers. Talk to your wholesalers. Talk to your, you know, line cleaners, whether it's, you know, whoever's cleaning lines where you are. Talk to them. Interact with them. Learn from them. Learn with them. Just a little bit about, you know, when you're looking at glassware at retail, you know, yeah, you can have the conversations, and you should, about beer clean glassware. But watch beers being poured. It's really easy to walk the walk of clean glassware. It is much more difficult to. I did that backwards, I think. I've only had one coffee, which was either too much or not enough. But it's really important to talk the talk of clean glassware, but walking the walk is more difficult, right? You get busy. The dishwasher breaks, whatever. Make sure that, you know, if Ryan's in an account visiting and they know who he is and he's talking to the manager and he orders a pint and they pour it for him, I guarantee you that's going to be the most delicately, patiently poured pint that they serve that day.
It's not even close to true.
But you should also be looking at, you know, the bartender on the other side of the bar who's trying to fill, you know, 15 orders in 2 minutes and see what they're doing. Are their glasses clean? Is their pouring technique good? Just no frosty mugs. I don't even want to talk about it anymore.
I got one last night.
I know. I did. I got one 2 days ago. Just please don't. I can't. That's
we're
all
begging.
I got.
We're begging. I can't. Please. You take one. Our one takeaway: no frosty mugs.
No frosty mugs.
That's it. The other thing I would say, when you talk about glassware, there are so many challenges that accounts that retail accounts face. I mean, what kind of system is set up? How old is that system? Do they only have one washer and they're sending dishware through it in addition to beer glassware? There are so many challenges, and it's ever-evolving and ever-changing. Every single account I've ever walked into, there was no one set way to get them to beer-clean glassware. So again, when we talk about building a toolkit, building a roster of different conversations that you can have, and being able to work with these accounts, I will tell you, some of the best success stories I've ever had in retail were with accounts who didn't think that clean glassware was something, that beer-clean glassware was something they were ever going to get to, because they had tried so many different ways. And when you unlock that puzzle, when you figure out what that balance is, that's a huge win. And that's something that I think really builds that relationship as well.
Yeah, and you know, again, some great resources that you can call upon. You know, just showing that side-by-side image to a retailer. Which of those do you want to drink, right? Like, the visual aspect of beer, particularly draft, is really important. And then, you know, if you're at a place where the beer is in dirty glassware, don't just yell at them and shame them and make them feel awful for having their glassware not be the way that you'd like it to be. Help them get there. And as Ryan said, it might not be, you know, it might not be the next day, but you can work on getting them to that space. For date codes and shelf life, again, it's pretty simple. Know how to read your product codes and make sure that everyone involved in your supply chain and your process does. Know your products. Not all of our beers have the same shelf life. So our team needs to know that, and our wholesalers need to know that, because not all beer has the same shelf life, at least in our opinion. Understanding rotating of inventory. Another thing, I always like to have our team, you know, take a look at the dates of our beer, of course, when they're making deliveries, but glance at some other things. Is ours the only beer that's being rotated in the bar? Maybe that's a good opportunity to have some conversations with the bar. If they're just doing it for my beer, that's maybe not the best draft account that it could be. So you want to help them because that's the kind of experience you want for your beer. And of course, again, Matt Meadows has to be in every presentation.
I hope this picture is in all of the presentations.
I think it might be.
Yeah.
So, did you want to talk about some of the...
Yeah, sure. So, again, once you have those relationships, once you make those connections with people at retail, you should feel comfortable talking to them about their opening and closing procedures, about the way they clean their bar, about the things that they're looking at when they come in the morning and when they shut down at night. Instruct, teach, share knowledge and share understanding. You know, it's for a lot of retail accounts and for a lot of people that run bars, run restaurants, whatever the case may be, they don't know what they don't know in some circumstances. What I always think about, and I think I shared this with you on one of our calls, Chris, was my air conditioning broke down 2 years ago. And the guy that came to fix it, I know nothing about HVAC, nothing, not at all. And to steal a bit of an example from David's presentation, that guy could have told me my flux capacitor was broken. I would have believed him. That'll be $2,500. Oh, okay, great. If we can instruct these retail accounts, this is the way that you should look at your faucets. This is what can happen. This is how you can break these down and clean them. At the end of the night, if you do A, B, and C, your beer quality is going to increase unbelievably so. Keg room cleaning and equipment maintenance. I know everybody in this room has been in some terrifying cold boxes.
Some of you may have terrifying cold boxes.
Some of you may have them. Yeah, I mean, that's okay. But understand that we all, again, something that we'll talk about here in a second, I think, playing from the same playbook, right? I think that's the goal of all of this, is to make sure that these consistent conversations and this consistent work is going across the entire spectrum of where you do your business. And again, I'll point out, when we talk about bar cleaning, these procedures, closing down your tap, or excuse me, your cold box, all of those things, your tap room should be your home field advantage. That's where you can train every single person that interacts with your beer, because most of them are coming down to your tap room to try it, right? And when they're there, show them all of these things that they can then translate to their accounts.
Yeah, and then just really just that reiteration that bar cleaning and draft field quality cleaning is as important as line cleaning is. That's not all of it. So keep that in mind that, we clean the lines. Like, okay, there's still more to do.
All of that work that you guys do to create these incredible beers and put them in kegs with the highest quality procedures possible can be ruined in 15 feet from keg to glass. And that's, I cannot stress that enough. All you.
Yeah, this is really just my plea to keep track of these things, right? Especially in this this day and age of so much rotation and churn with accounts and managers and buyers, if you're having consistent issues with an account or with one of your beers or with one of your batches, right? If you don't keep track of these types of issues, you'll never know. So you have to make sure, whether it's just an email, whether it's a notebook, whether it's a fancy, setup, anything, all that works. But it allows you to keep tabs on everything, and it makes sure that all the right people are looped in. When we have quality issues, there's an email. It is quality@ryangeist.com. That is anytime one of our people, one of our wholesalers, one of our retailers, if they have an issue, they can send an email to that, and it all gets triaged through the appropriate channels. And so we can look back every month, every quarter, and say, okay, wow, we're getting a whole bunch of out-of-code beer issues. That's a conversation we need to have. Or, we're getting a whole bunch of issues with, people not having the right expectations for one of our brands. Okay, that's on us. We got to set that better, right? So, but if you track that, you can see what you need to focus on.
Whoops. So why are these interactions important? How do you get started? It starts with consistent messaging, right? We talked about this. If your entire organization, and that again is every single person that interacts with your beer, if everybody's playing from the same playbook, it's going to work. It has to work. If you've got that consistent messaging in place, everything else will work. Everything else will take care of itself in some respects. Building relationships. Turnover in retail, we talked about that earlier. It's made it even more important to, again, have that consistent messaging and to identify those key folks at retail that you can build those relationships with. If you build experts, They're the trusted resource. And those trusted resources across your distribution network, across your retail network, those are the people that, no matter what the issue is, they become the folks that get the text, get the call. Communicating goes both ways, obviously. Make sure that you are always available for these questions, for these concerns, anything that might come up from your sales folks, from your retail partners. Follow up and follow through. I mean, simple as it gets, but if you say you're going to do something, if you're going to address an issue, address it. Do it.
Yeah, this is, I mean, again, we've been talking about all these points here, but, you know, quality is going to impact sales. It is better beer is going to lead to more orders, and that's good for, it's worth noting that that's good for everyone, all four of the tiers, right? More beer being sold works for everybody. And this is an image of a education session I did for the public at our brewery. Consumers have never been more educated. People are learning more and more about beer, and so they are and should be calling you and us on things that we're not getting right.
Creating experts in the field, we've been talking about this a lot today. The more your staff knows, the more valuable they become, not just to the folks that are interacting with your beer, but to you as well. The goal should be to create as educated and as experienced a staff as you possibly can. When we talk about turnover, if they're gaining an education from you, if they're gaining greater opportunities, and if you're providing opportunities for growth within your organization that follow along with those educational opportunities, that's how you hang on and build an incredible staff. And again, internal and external experts. Educate every single person that comes into contact. And I think we talked about this earlier. Be nice, right? Have these conversations in a way that is educational, that is supportive, that is addressing concerns and addressing needs. Work together. Respect everybody that interacts with the beer. I love this phrase, educate, don't pontificate. Share in success, support efforts. Your language and tone are so incredibly important. And don't forget to celebrate when things go well. Don't forget to celebrate when an account that had trouble with glassware, that had trouble with rotating stock, when they start to make those improvements, acknowledge that. Make sure that they're aware that it's not just about fixing issues, it's about celebrating and supporting them when they make those adjustments. A real-world example we wanted to share, I see a lot of ugly pints of Guinness Draft Stout, friends. This is particularly one of the worst, but what I loved about this was this particular example is something that really kind of follows the chain that we've been talking about for the last 25 minutes. This was at an account. The account owner was somebody that we had had a lot of conversations with and had given them as much quality education in terms of beer quality as we could. They reached out to our sales rep that they had a great relationship with. That sales rep addressed the things that he could and then reached out to me because the issue was still presenting. And so that quality conversation took place over the course of 25 minutes. And after 25 minutes, the pint went from that to that. It's that simple. And really, again, it was a bit of a complex issue, but because everybody knew as soon as the beer started to pour poorly, that's a bit redundant, as soon as it started to pour incorrectly, the conversation was had and it was addressed very quickly because people knew where to go to get the answers that they needed. And I think the most important part of that was that the retail partner knew that that wasn't right. Because there are still a lot of accounts out there that may pour a beer like that and just think, okay, that's what it looks like today. But understanding that quality issue led us to there. So quality toolkit, we talked about this, right? The physical toolkit. A couple of things that if you throw in a bag, this is, what do we say, $100 maybe?
Yeah, if you get the fancy thermometer.
If you get the fancy, yeah, ThermoPen thermometer. But a beer thermometer, a multi-tool that can address a couple of different elements of the draft system. Having spare gaskets, having a faucet brush, a flashlight, the McDansum app, the quality, the draft quality manual at your disposal, on your computer, on your phone, whatever it is. Put these things in a bag and have them available for anybody who interacts with your beer on a daily basis. Because this kit alone is going to address how many issues, right? And with that, that's it.
Thanks.
Chris Shields, everybody.
Ryan Wagner. Matt Meadows.
That's three times, I think. Maybe a three.
All right. Well, we are required to take a half-hour break just due to kind of clearing out the air for safety reasons. I know that this was an ask. So if, you know, so we're going to take a break now at this point and come back here at 11 o'clock where we're going to have a couple more presentations and then finally our Mythbusters panel where you will be able to submit questions that you have regarding draft quality. But if you could just, you know, get out of the room just for a half hour, and we'll see you again soon.